The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's David Isaac. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. We are here post-game after the Memphis Grizzlies lose to the Charlotte Hornets. They fall to 6-5 on the season, 118-108. Isaac, what do you got to say about this one, man?
Man, I really thought they were going to go 7-8-4, man. They broke my heart, man. But but no, in all seriousness, man, if you told me you'd get 32-7-8 from Ja, 19-6 from Jaren, and 24-6 for Dylan Brooks in his return, I would have bet you everything I had to Grizz win this game. But as they say, man, the three-pointer is the great equalizer, man. Grizz minus 18 points on the three-point line, fueled by a big night from Kelly Oubre, 37 points off the bench, and 7-9 from three. Just a tough night for the Grizz. And I kind of figured that this would be a tough game. I was kind of worried about this one. I figured you'd get a really great effort from the Hornets. They were coming into this game. This was the fifth game of a four-game road trip, and they were 0-4 on their trip, losing three of four of those games by double digits, got blown out. The only game that they were competing in is the previous game against the Lakers, where they lost 128-124 in overtime. So I figured you'd get a really good effort here, and I figured you kind of look at that their lineup with guys like Terry Rozier, LaMelo Ball, obviously, Gordon Hayward, and guys like that, my Bridges, that the Grizzlies, with the way that they had played defense outside of a couple stretches, the end of that Timberwolves game and kind of go back to that Golden State game later in that one, they really struggled defensively. And I knew this lineup with the Hornets would put a lot of pressure on them. And I figured they'd get a really good effort. And that's what you got, man, and a tough loss for the Grizzlies tonight.
Yeah, it's – you talked about the three-point shooting. Kelly Oubre is not – you know, Dylan said in the post game, you know, about Oubre not really being a three-point shooter. He's a career 32% three-point shooter. So he's really not. He's not a great three-point shooter.
He's a hot and cold guy. He's either feast or famine. You either get what you got tonight or you get nothing. Because their bench has been – bad. Like, I think they only got, like, I can't even remember, maybe 20 points off the bench in an overtime game against the Lakers. Like, they haven't got anything off the bench. And, I mean, he really, really fueled him tonight as a problem. But, again, with him, yeah. I mean, he obviously picked he usually has, like, one good game a week, and he picked the Grizzlies game to have his big game for the week. And that's
kind of what
went up for the loss. Yeah.
Revenge game?
Yeah, man.
Y'all don't want to give up Dylan Brooks straight for me? Here you go. I'm going to put 37 on you.
The funny Marshall and Dylan Brooks trade, man. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Yeah, you know, crazy times back in the day.
Yeah, for sure, man. That was – when I saw that Oubre was coming, like, I saw that trade, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's – like, I was happy because I liked Oubre. And then, like, man, now looking back, the fact that, you know, I'm glad that they didn't do it, because the Grizzlies – would not be as successful as what they've been in this rebuild so far with Oubre as opposed to Dylan Brooks, because he does not have the defensive chops for sure.
Yeah, at that time, it looked like it would be a fantastic trade. I was excited about it. A lot of people weren't, but I was like, man, you get score, a guy like it can score and put the ball in the basket like Oubre, man, let's go. But, yeah, man, in hindsight, I'm definitely, definitely glad. It's kind of same thing with falling to the number two pick and getting Ja instead of number one. Kind of that same thing, man. In hindsight, I'm glad that worked out that way.
Yeah, you got to get lucky in some places, that's for sure. So, rough night for Desmond Bane, 1 for 10 from the field, 0 for 7 from 3. You know, you talked about the three, the gap in threes. You know, the Hornets made 15, the Grizzlies made 9. Desmond Bane he's just in a rough stretch right here, man. He started off on a torrid pace, just ripping it, like, you know, killing it early. It's like he was never missing. And then, you know, these last couple games, he's really, really struggling. So, you know, I don't really know what's going on with him. He got in some foul trouble tonight. He only played about 21 minutes. So, you know, that's going to be better. Like, everybody trusts that's going to be better. I'm actually encouraged by the fact that he shot 7 threes in this game. Even though he missed them, that, you know, that's awful. You know, 1 for 10 from the field is not good in any way, shape, or form. But I was worried about his number of attempts with Dylan coming back. And Dylan came in, he had 17 attempts. You know Dylan's going to put up shots. But I thought that we would see Desmond Bane really drop in his shot attempts, and we didn't. They did a little bit, but some of that was because of the foul trouble. So not really concerned about that. I think that the story of this game has been the story for the Grizzlies the majority of the year so far. and it's just defense. There were a number of occasions where they were playing pretty good. They were staying in position. They were keeping, the guards in front of them. And then the last 5 seconds of the shot clock, it would break down. And there was one play late in particular where LaMelo Ball, he had it, and great defense. They had him essentially shut down with like 2 seconds left on the shot clock. And there was just a collapse, and he got a floater from 8 feet and made it. And you just can't do that. You cannot fold like that. They can't continue to play defense the way that they're playing and expect to make it to the playoffs, because it's not going to happen. And we've talked about it. We know that Dylan is going to be some improvement on that, but one player is not going to fix it. And let's be honest about this. One of the glaring holes in this Memphis Grizzlies defense is Ja Morant. So much so, I've got numbers here from Cleaning the Glass. The defensive rating for the Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant on the floor is 117.2. Any lineup from the Grizzlies that is on the floor without Ja Morant in it, the defensive rating improves. It improves by 9 points with Ja Morant off of the floor. The offensive rating with Ja Morant on the floor is 111.6. The offensive rating without Ja Morant is 107. So what does that tell you? What does that mean? It means that as good as Ja Morant has been offensively, he is not being good enough offensively to make up for how bad he is on defense. And I know that you guys don't want to hear that. I know, like, I'm probably going to get some tweets about this, and I don't care. Like, we've got to be honest. There's nobody on this team that's above criticism. And as good as Ja has been, he's playing at an incredible level right now, better than we've ever seen him play on the offensive end of the floor. But this is a two-way game, and you cannot be that bad on defense. Your team is not going to win. Your team is not going to get to the level that you want to get to if you are that bad on defense.
Yeah, and they play their best defense when they have that mix of bench lineups. And you have Tyus and maybe De'Anthony Melton. That's kind of where – and Jaren at the five, that's kind of where they play their best defense. But that's a tough pill to swallow, because, I mean, we know how much – Ja means to this team, and you have to have him on the floor. But man, again, like you said, I mean, it's great. That lets you know just how bad his defense has been. Because I mean, this guy's averaging like 30 points a game right now. And for the way that he's played offensively, if he can't make up that number that lets you know that, I mean, he's just matador on defense. And you just they're gonna have to be better than that. I mean, again, like you said, I mean, they're 6-5 right now, but you're going to continue to lose games. And I've said this time and time again, when anytime their offense fails them, teams just run off on them. Like you saw it tonight several times. They get up 5, 6, 7, 8 points. Defense kind of wanes. Next thing you know, they're down 12, 13. And that's what happens, because they can't – offensively as a team, I think that is even more of a microcosm of the overall team picture. When they can't score, they can't maintain – games, because their defense is just so bad right now. They can't stop other teams from scoring. They just run off on them when they're not putting the ball in the basket. And it's something that has to be fixed. And it's weird, because this team, I think, was 7th in defensive efficiency last year. And to see them being this bad, I mean, I don't know what the answer is. Again, Dylan Brooks being back, and once he gets acclimated, will help. But Taylor Jenkins has said it himself, and Dylan has said it, that this is not a one-man fix. This is a team thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it right now. I do think that they do need to make a change where you're not going up against big centers like Jokic or Embiid or anything like that, like you said in the past. I think they do need to start Jaren at the five and bring Steven Adams off the bench, because when they play their best defense, that's the lineup that we see with Jaren at the five. I think that's when they're at their best defensively. But overall, as a team, this is not a one-man fix. This is a team problem, and it has to get fixed, or they're going to continue to take losses like this. When they don't come out and have these big offensive nights like we've seen, like, again, what they scored 108 tonight, I mean, that's not going to cut it. That sounds like a lot of points, but in the modern NBA, the way the team is scoring now, that's not a good number at all. You got to put more points up, especially when you're not playing good defense. So we'll see. I mean, you got a tough Suns team coming in here on Friday, and kind of similar to tonight. I mean, the guards, the guys that can really put pressure on you. Talk about Devin Booker and Chris Paul. I mean, it can get ugly when you can't stop dribble penetration and can't stop guys going to the bank. I mean, you're going to take a lot of losses like that. And with the way – if this team continues to play defense like this all year, I said 45 wins beginning the season. They're not getting anywhere near that.
Yeah, yeah, they'll definitely struggle to get there. The best non-Ja Morant lineup for point differential, and this is I'm filtering this a little bit because, like, there's one that's been on the floor for, like, two possessions, and their differential is plus 250. But, yeah, so, I'm not going to go with that. But the lineup that's been on the floor, out of the lineups that have been on the floor 30-plus times together, the best five-man lineup without Ja Morant defensively is Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton, Zaire Williams, Brandon Clark, and Jaren Jackson Jr. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough to sit here and be like, Ja is not good enough defensively.
You can't take him off the floor. So, I mean,
yeah, like everybody knows that. Everybody knows that Ja is not good enough defensively. But – there's levels to it, right? Like Isaac said, we know just because he's bad on the defensive end, the killer instinct, the attack, his playmaking abilities, everything, all the positives that he does, everything that he brings to the game, it's not something – he's your best player, period. He's the best player on the team, hands down. It's not really all that close right now. But you're almost better off late in the games taking, you know, like playing somebody else defensively. I was joking about it. The Hawks were in a close game late and they pulled Trey off of the floor on the defensive end. And it was a foul shoot free throws type thing. So they pulled Trey for a defensive replacement. And I tweeted out like just kind of poking fun of one of my buddies that's a Hawks fan. If like, oh, your franchise point guard has to be pulled off the floor for a defensive replacement at the end of the game, can't hey, man, relate.
Playing houses, man.
Yeah, and you know, like I posted the picture of Ja Morant blocking Kyrie Irving at the end of the game, but you know, it's you just there. He knows, like Ja Morant, he said in the post game presser that he wanted to be better on the defensive end. He wanted to be better off-ball defender, want to be more disruptive. He knows that he's not a point-of-attack defender, and he's your best player, best offensive player. The best offensive player on the team is not going to be your best point-of-attack defender. I don't know if that's ever happened with the exception of maybe Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yeah. That's the only name that comes to mind, really.
And that's probably – and I don't even know – I may even step back from that because I'm not going to say – with certainty that Jordan was a better point of attack defender than Pippen.
Yeah, I was going to say Pippen might have been if you gave me both of those, I might lean Pippen in there. You might be right, but I mean they were both really good defensive players. But yeah, I mean that if you're going to say that the star player, like your best player on the team, he's the name that comes to mind. But you haven't really seen that, so I mean that's not something that's abnormal.
Yeah, so just. Stuff they need to work on, man, you know, and that's it's Taylor Jenkins said before the game, it's early in the season. We haven't found our stride, so I can try things. And I see him getting some flack on, you know, like I see people talking and people getting upset because of the lineups.
Yeah. I mean, there's some weird stuff going on.
Like, why did he not play tonight? Why is John Contrar still in the game?
It felt like Contrar. Yeah. I don't, and I hate to bag on Jitty. Feels like I come on here every time. I'm not a Jitty hater. I respect him for what he does, man. But I don't understand, man. I don't get why Jitty is still playing minutes. They said that Zaire Williams was healthy and a go tonight. Maybe he was still banged up a little bit and they didn't want to risk it. I don't know. But with Dylan Brooks coming back, I mean, you just wouldn't think that the Contrar would still be getting that many minutes, man. He's still a significant part of the rotation, and I don't get it. It just seems like with this coaching staff, there's always a guy. It was Grayson Allen at times, even though Grayson is great, having a great year in Milwaukee, playing really well out there. But there were times with the Grizzlies where the kind of the choir said he shouldn't be on the floor, and he continued to play him over D'Anthony Melton. And just weird, man. I don't get that one. But, I mean, again, I guess Coach Jenkins and his staff has their reasons. Jenny comes out and plays hard. I'm not knocking him, saying that he's coming out. He plays to the best of his abilities, but I just don't think he's one of the top 10 players on this team, even without Dylan. And now as you got Dylan Brooks back and you want to play Zaire Williams, I just don't understand why he's getting minutes right now.
That is like you're being too soft about it, man. Like,
I'm trying not to go all the way in, all man.
This is the thing. If anybody has a Memphis Grizzly jersey on, and you can this, I go back to Grayson Allen because my dislike for him prior to him being a Grizzly, prior to him being in Memphis, it was very, very high. I did not like him. He was one of my least favorite players in the league. And he won me over here. But once he put that Grizzlies jersey on, I don't care what the name says on the back. If they got that Grizzly jersey on, I'm rooting for them. That's how it is. But John Conchar is not a rotation player. He is not an NBA rotation player.
Not on a decent team, he's not a good rotation player.
Maybe if you're talking about the Thunder or something, not
a playoff team.
OKC, Houston Rockets, some of these the bottom feeder teams, because he's going to go out there and he's going to play hard. He's going to win his minutes generally because of the effort that he puts in. So I understand them rewarding him for him playing hard and the things that he does. Like, I get all of that, but it's not the time. It's not like he is not a part of the future of this franchise. He's not going to develop into some all-star player. Like, John Conchar is what he is.
He is what he is. Yeah.
And that is a good basketball player.
Yeah.
But he's an end-of-the-bench guy. He's a garbage-time guy. He's a guy where, you know, you don't have any energy out there one night. You need somebody to spark the team. So you put him in for 3 or 4 minutes, and he goes out there and he goes ass wild. That's the kind of player that he is. He is not a 18-minute a night rotation guy. This is nonsense. There's no reason for it. And I'm new to the media thing, so I'm not brave enough to just be like, why in the hell is John Conchar getting minutes? I think that there's guys in the Memphis media that have the chops and that are not scared to say that. Nobody has said that yet, but I've not been around long enough to do that, honestly. Like, I, number one, you know, Coach Jenkins doesn't have a stinking clue who I am, but you know, I don't want him to be like, who is that dude that asked me that question? Don't ever let him back in here. Yeah. So I'm not going to ask it, but I wish somebody would, because he does not, he should not in any way, shape or form be in this 10 man rotation.
No,
he shouldn't. You know, Brandon Clark got 12 minutes tonight. I was glad to see him out there. I'm glad that he got another run. Didn't have a good night.
You got a guy like Tillman not playing at all, and you got Conchar getting. I don't know what it is, man. But Jenkins loves John Conchar. He's going to play for better or worse, man. He's going to get his 10 plus minutes a night, and I don't get it, man. But there's no way that this guy is a top 10 player on this team. He just shouldn't be in the game. I understand, like, he plays hard. Like you said, he comes in, does his job to the best of his abilities, but he should not be on the floor for this team right now. This is a playoff team. This is a serious basketball team that's trying to go out there and win games, man. John Conchar is not a rotation-level player on a playoff-level team in the NBA. He's just not. Like, on this team, he could – honestly, and I hate to say this again. I hate to jump on him or anything, but he could be in South Haven on this team. I mean, that's – Where they are right now. I don't know.
Guys that got DNP coaches decisions that should be on the floor before him. And 100%. Maybe four. You could probably argue four. Like Jarrett Culver, Sam Merrill, Xavier Tillman, Zaire Williams. Like Culver and Merrill, you know, maybe it's a coin toss between them and Jitty, but Tillman and Williams should not be on the bench.
100%. No.
That is Zaire Williams, most of all, and you know, Tillman proved that he is a rotation player last year and this year. He's proven that he can be out there and be a rotation guy. The fact that they still have to consolidate, they've got to make a decision with some of this talent, whether it's, you know, packaging, you know, Tyus Jones and Kyle Anderson, or Kyle Anderson and Steven Adams, or
Steven Adams. Yeah, they got a lot. They got options. Like, they got draft picks. They're going to make a move. They're going to make some moves. I don't think there's any question. I think they got to consolidate. And that BC Tillman thing, that has to be figured out. I mean, you can't, they're not going to be able to keep both of those guys. Tillman is too good not to be playing. And I think Brandon Clark, when he's not getting minutes, is too good not to be playing. So they're going to figure that out sooner rather than later.
And, you know, before we had talked about BC being kind of an untouchable, you know, prior to last year, we talked about that. That's obviously not the case now. So he's one that would be at the bottom of the list of guys that I would want to see go. But you got to do something. You cannot keep playing John Conchar in this rotation, man. It makes zero sense. You can be nice about it. I'm not going to be nice about it, man. I'm like, I don't get it at all. And you're never going to get like a true, this is why it's happening. Like, it's going to be very coach speak. I don't
know. Yeah, he's going to say, he's going to be like, he plays hard. He goes out, does his job. We trust him. That's what you're going to get if anybody asks him. You're not going to get a true answer because there's nothing that he can say that makes any sense. So whatever he says is going to be coach speak or BS. It's not going to be a real legitimate answer. So I don't know. I don't know what it is with him. I think they just like him as a coaching staff. He works hard and they reward him, and he just shouldn't be happening right now.
Yep. Rough night for the bench. The bench was, you know, I mean, Dylan Brooks had you know, he put up 20. Kyle Anderson, you know, that's a Kyle Anderson stat line, man. 12.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. That's what Kyle Anderson does. 5 for 11 from the field. He didn't make any threes. Nobody outside of Jaren and Dylan Brooks made threes tonight. So that just is what it is. But, you know, the bench were a combined, 30, 50, 60, about negative 80 for the plus minus from the bench. And then the starters almost made up for that, but they were unable to. So, you know, it just defense has to get better. And this is stuff like they know that. The team knows this. They talk about it. The media is asking those tough questions. And, you know, and I'll give it to Evan Barnes and Parker and, you know, some of those guys. I think I heard Terry in there asking a question about it as well. Like, these guys are asking them the questions. They know that the defense is the issue. What are they going to do to fix it? There's no way that this team goes from a top 7 defense to being this bad.
No, the personnel. Changes. Yeah, the personnel is there. I mean, they haven't changed enough personnel to go from 7 to where they are now. And that's why I believe this is correctable. And like you said, and Taylor Jenkins talked about tonight, man, they know what they're doing wrong. They watch it on film, man. They just got to go out and do it and go out and execute. And so far, they just haven't done that. But I do believe that they'll get it together. And I think Dylan being back is going to be kind of the start to doing it. And I want to talk a little bit about Dylan. I said on the last episode that I felt like there would be a decent size adjustment period, but I'm extremely encouraged, man. I definitely wouldn't have thought he would have come out and scored 20 points tonight. 20 points tonight, 4 of 7 from three, 8 of 17 from the field. So efficient. And even defensively, I thought he did a pretty good job. Grabbed 4 rebounds, 6 assists, which is a big number for him, 2 steals. I mean, he looked like he had been playing. I mean, they asked him, he was asked in a post-game press conference tonight, was he back? And he said, no, like, he's nowhere near back. But to come back and put out those kind of numbers, I think that's really encouraging, because I think, I mean, you had pretty much the Dylan Brooks that we're used to seeing of tonight. I mean, that's a big stat line off the bench. One funny moment, we were laughing about this before we came on. Dylan was asked about coming off the bench tonight, and he said that it's like basically said it was nothing, because he remembered coming off the bench behind Garrett Temple and Shelvin Mack back in the day. And it was kind of the way he said it. You have to see the look on his face. I'm sure it'll be out tomorrow. It'll be up on YouTube. You'll see but he definitely meant that in kind of a disrespectful way. There's no doubt about that, man. Yeah. It was hilarious, man. But muted myself. I was like laughing, man. If I had been there, I would have laughed out loud if I was actually in the press room, but I was on the Zoom, wasn't at the game. But yeah, man, that was a hilarious moment for sure.
Yeah, I could not hold it together here, man. I was glad that I was behind the comfort of Zoom and a muted microphone, because I got a good belly laugh out of that one, man. Because it was very, very clear that there was a level of disrespect
mentioning
Garrett Temple and Shelvin Mack. Like,
it's just hilarious, because like, who thought going to that press conference we get a Garrett Temple, Shelvin Mack reference going to that, but. Like, unprovoked, man. The man just brought it up. That lets you know, man, he hasn't forgotten about that era at all, man. That's still currently on his mind. There's no doubt about that. I just thought that was hilarious, man. That DB is a trip, man. He's always going to give you some good quotes, and I thought that was a funny one tonight.
Yeah, definitely, man. That was one I just, like I said, got a good belly laugh out of it. Glad to see him back. Glad to see, you know, obviously, you know, he said, I may come out next game and only put up five, but it's about, you know, coming out here, getting into shape, communicating with my teammates, getting people into places where they need to be making the right plays and get myself back to where I was at the end of last year. So saying all the right stuff, obviously disappointed because of the loss. Again, the final score of the game, 118 to 108, Grizzlies fall to 6-5. That puts them, I think, tied for seventh with the Lakers, or maybe, I guess technically because of the loss, they're behind the Lakers and eighth in the West. But it's early in the season. I think that we're going to see improvement as the season goes along. I know, like, there's nothing in me that makes me believe that this defense is going to remain this bad the rest of the year. That there's just no way.
Oh.
So, I don't know, man. We've been talking about it. I feel like we talk about that every game, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but it just is what it is. And you know what? Forget all this mess. It wasn't the defense. It wasn't the fact that they shot 24% from three. It was Tony freaking Brothers. It was Tony Brothers. Damn it.
Yeah, man. -9 on the free throw line. So that's Tony Brothers' game. Grizzlies with a free throw discrepancy, man. Who figured that going into the night? Yeah,
nobody saw that coming. They didn't shoot the ball well from the free throw line. That's the true Steven Adams showed up tonight, 1-for-5 from the free throw line. Yeah,
missed three in a row. What, he missed three in a row there. Kind of went down, looked like he might have twisted his ankle. I was like, I bet he gets up and misses both of these free throws. I had a feeling, and then he missed both of those and came back and missed another one on the and one after that. So, he was like top, I think, 5 in the league coming to the game. And Brevin and Pete Predica said it. I was like, oh, they're jinxing him. And there it goes, missed three. So you knew he was going to regress to the mean, man. He's not going to be a 90% free throw shooter.
He was 17 for 18 heading into the night's game. Yeah. So, yeah, that was while that's nice, I knew that wasn't going to hold up. I'm sure that the hatred inside of Amy is stirring right now because, you know, he missed 4 free throws. She didn't like him very much anyway because of the Zeebo incident. Now he's missing free throws. Gives her the reason. Man, I don't really have much else to say about this game, honestly. Just, you know, we're back in Memphis. The Grizzlies don't go anywhere. They play again Friday against the Suns, and that's going to be another tough matchup. Talked about perimeter defense and, you know, being able to stop dribble penetration. And you've got, you know, Chris Paul is you know, probably one of the best in the league at, you know, getting, you know, he can just manipulate the defense, get to where he wants to go, and then Devin Booker can definitely get downhill. So you don't have as many guys. I feel like the Hornets had more guys that can do it with Bridges and Hayward and Rozier and Ball, Kelly Oubre. I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about, you know, like the Phoenix made the finals. They've had some troubles. There's some stuff going on with their owner and still figuring all that crap out, but – it's not going to be any easier, I don't think, on Friday night for them.
No, the Suns struggled a little bit early, but they've definitely gotten on the right track. That's going to be an extremely tough matchup. But I look at these last two games, man, and it's a tough matchup. And I know a lot of people are not going to expect them to win on Friday. But if you lose, man, you're looking at a 1-2 homestand. And that's not what you want, man. That's a game that they really, really need to find a way to win. And then you go on the back-to-back next night in New Orleans, which New Orleans just took another loss tonight, 108-100 to the Thunder at home. That has to end this week, man. They can't lose to this. This team is probably going to be 1-12 when they go in there because they got the Nets on Friday night. They'll be on the back-to-back as well. You got to beat that team, man. You can't go in there and lose to a 1-12 team, especially when you've kind of taken some losses on the home floor and some games that you feel like you probably should have won. They got to win that game. I really think they need to find a way to go 2-0 in those two games. I know beating Phoenix is a tall task, but I got a feeling they figure it out. I think they finished the homestand 2-1, and I think they get the monkey out the back and go down to New Orleans and get a win on Saturday, man. And that'll be whatever that put them at 6-7, 8-5. I think that's pretty good. He kind of weathered the storm without DB. He's back now. Had a really good night tonight. Hopefully he can build on that, but the defense has to get better, and that's kind of the theme of the season right now. And because the offense has been pretty good, the defense has just been their shortcoming in these games. They lose, they just can't get enough stops, and that's what we saw tonight. And hopefully they can find a way to get in the film room, put it together, and get a big win on the home floor on Friday against Phoenix. That should be a fun game.
If you don't beat the Pelicans now, I don't know that you're going to beat them, man.
No, man, they gotta beat them this year for sure. I think I'm probably going to make the trip down to New Orleans for that second game in March. But I think I'm going to try to make that trip. But yeah, man, it's time to get the monkey out of the bag, man. Because again, I think they're probably going to be 1-12 on Saturday because I don't see them beating the Nets on Friday night. So who knows though? The NBA is crazy. You never know what happened. But it's time to exercise that demon, man, for sure.
Yep, for sure. Before we get out of here, we want to thank our partner over here at HoopBall, MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag, best online sportsbook out there. More lines and better odds than any other sportsbook. Go over and sign up using promo code HoopBall. Get your initial deposit match 50% up to $1,000. MyBookie.ag, you can bet with them. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. Prop bets, man, anything that you want to bet, mybookie.ag has it. And I love them for their odds boost. And, you know, I generally, man, overall, I don't bet a whole lot on sports. But when I do, like, I go to mybookie.ag. The odds boost helped me win a few hundred dollars last year just on essentially guaranteed wins, pretty much. Like, I don't know that they had a single odd boost that didn't hit last year. I had to go back and check that for sure. But I know everyone that I bet on hit. So there you go. MyBookie.ag. Again, more lines, better odds for the players than any other sports book out there. We appreciate them. Go over, sign up, use our promo code HoopBall. Get that initial deposit match. Win some money. Isaac, got anything else, man? Nothing. I think you pretty much just covered it. I'm running circles here, man. This game, the Shelvin Mack, man. That I'm still messed up because of that. I can't function, man.
Yeah, that was hilarious, man. Because I wasn't expecting it. I was just sitting there, we were going through the motions and answering the question. And he like brought that one out, man. That was the quote of the press conference, man. It's just funny again, like unprovoked to just bring up those two guys. Especially Shelvin Mack, man. I even thought about him in years, man. So again, man, he's definitely is held on to that, man. He hadn't forgot about that moment. I'm sure that's an unhappy time for him. He wasn't very happy coming out the bench behind those guys, and I think his comments tonight show you that he still remembers that.
Cue the Jordan meme of I took that personal.
For sure. 100%, man.
All right, guys. You can get the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac, let them know where they can find you and get us out of here.
Yeah, man. Make sure you go over to at HoopBallGrizz. Give us a follow. We definitely appreciate that. You can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. ISAAC_Rivals. Again, Grizzlies take on Phoenix Suns on Friday night at FedEx Forum. We'll be back after the game. And until then, thanks for tuning in. We gone.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.